Welcome to our second week of our Advent sermon series, which is actually now the first week of Advent officially. And whether you are here in person or whether you are online, we are happy to have you with us. Well, whether it is Broadway, music, stand-up comedy, or movies, you know you have made it big when you become the headliner. And if your name was called out as starring or featuring, you know that you have made it big. And if your name was bigger than the movie title on the poster, you know you really had made it big. For studios and actors alike, it was a big deal as to how names would appear in the opening credits. Actors with big egos demanded to be listed first, and to some, to be listed as also starring or co-starring was an insult to them. And for many people, you knew they were on the backside of their career when they were relegated to being a headliner in Las Vegas. But by and large, most actors follow the creed of one Konstantin Stanislavski. And I'm not going to say that one again, who said there are no small parts, only small actors. Konstantin was considered by many to be the father of modern acting. He believed every character on stage had to be believable in order for the production to truly come alive. Now, Carl and I have been in many drama productions. Sometimes we have had leading roles, and sometimes we have had minor roles. And I can tell you that it is harder to be a minor character in a scene than it is to have a leading role. When you have a leading role, all the focus is on you because all the action was written for you. The supporting cast may not be the center of attention, but the supporting cast has a very important job of bringing the scene alive. Their job is to make everything about the central character's words and actions come alive. Some supporting actors make the credits, but many characters are considered extras and do not receive any credit whatsoever. In the Bible, we have many supporting characters as well. How many of you know this name from the New Testament? James, son of Alphaeus. If you were on our Sunday school class, you would. Danny's raising his hand. I know that name. But if I say Peter, John, Matthew, or Judas, you would say, oh, those are the 12 disciples. But believe it or not, James, son of Alphaeus, was also one of the 12. He's also known as James the Lesser, because there were two disciples with the name of James. The first was the brother of John, and together they were known as the Sons of Thunder. But do you know what we know about James, son of Alphaeus? Well, according to the Bible, nothing. Because outside of being listed in the name of men called by Jesus, there is no other direct scripture references on him. And he, and even church tradition and legend, is the most obscure of all the disciples. Nearly all the disciples are specifically mentioned by name for something. We know Thomas was doubting Thomas, right? And so was this James's role, James the Lesser, any less important than any of the other 12, just because he was only mentioned a couple times? Well, speaking to the disciples in Luke 22, Jesus says this, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So this quiet, obscure disciple will be rewarded in the same manner as all the other disciples. And let's face it, the disciples as a whole were average working class men. None of them were affluent, high-ranking, or large members of society. We have fishermen, tax collectors, and some tradesmen. For most of them, we know little or nothing about their occupations. Jesus was surrounded by men of humble origin. And Jesus' messages were frequently about exalting the humble. I mean, think about the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the meek." Or he also taught later, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Or after the disciples argued who would be the greatest, he said, "To be the greatest, you must be the least." And he took a little child and he said, "Truly, unless I say to you, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus even humbled himself and washed the feet of the disciples, teaching them that no one is above service of others. And where do you think Jesus may have learned some of this humbleness? Perhaps it is from a humble and righteous man named Joseph. In Matthew, Joseph is a critical part in the birth story. But after that, he is only mentioned a few more times. We are not sure how much longer he lived after Jesus was 12, but we are pretty certain that he had passed away by the time Jesus had started his ministry. Joseph was like the actor whose character dies in the beginning of the movie. Joseph is hardly in the story of Jesus long enough to earn the Best Supporting Actor award. Joseph was a humble carpenter, a tradesman who worked with his hands. He was most likely a stone carver. And God chose a humble man, a man of character, a man who knew the importance of building a strong framework to be the earthly father of Jesus. Not a king, not a wise man from the east, not a priest or a prophet, and certainly not a politician. And we see Joseph's character through the words of Matthew. In verse 18, we heard Diana read, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Right away, we see Joseph was a good man, a man who was obedient to the law, but a man who had compassion for this poor girl who was in a bad situation, who by the law deserved to be stoned to death. Now remember a woman 30 years later who was dragged in front of Jesus. A woman who by law deserved to be stoned. And Jesus was tested between the law and compassion. And Jesus found a way to uphold the law but provide compassion for that woman. Do you see the parallel? Joseph was going to find a way to humbly and compassionately spare Mary not only disgrace, but potentially her death. Mary and Joseph were technically just engaged when she became pregnant. And had Joseph not taken her as his wife and Jesus as his son, Mary could have been dragged out and stoned. The same fate that was threatened to the adulterous woman that Jesus spared decades later, when Jesus showed such great compassion for her. Do you not think that Joseph, as the earthly father, wasn't building a framework for Jesus as a boy? I would think that Joseph taught young Jesus many lessons about being humble, many lessons about love, many lessons about being obedient to God's will. Don't you think Joseph, the carpenter, the builder, the tradesman, was the one who taught Jesus many lessons about the importance of building foundations? You know, you remember the story, the house built on the sand and the one built on the rock? Don't you think the love that Joseph had for Mary had an effect on Jesus? As we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus had a love for his mother. And in Joseph, we also see an important lesson for all of us. In verse 20, it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" God told Joseph, "This child will be the centerpiece of all humanity, the savior of all mankind, God's greatest gift." And he says, "I want you to be a supporting actor in all of this. I want you to enhance who Jesus is without drawing attention to yourself." And you know, that is how our relationship with Jesus is supposed to be. We are supposed to be the supporting cast. We are not supposed to be the center of attention. Jesus should be central in our lives. People should look at us and see how we are a part of the story of Jesus. Jesus should have the starring role in our lives. Jesus should be our focus, and people should see that. And if they made a marquee of your life, who or what would get top billing? For many of us, Jesus has become a small part of our lives. We are focused on us. We are focused on my career, my kids, my money, my retirement, my education, my car, my needs, my wants. And there are times in our life when Jesus and our faith don't even make the credits of our life. Jesus and our faith in Jesus should be the central part of our lives. Everything we do should point people to faith in Jesus Christ. We should be an uncredited extra in our own lives. In life, in this church, some of you may feel like your role is pretty obscure. You may feel like the little things that you do not matter, and that you are just another unknown name in the history of the church. In life and in this church, it is easy to look at high-profile people and think that you do not matter. You see people in the forefront, whether it is a preacher or someone who stands out doing solos or speaking or reading. And it's easy to look at yourself, even in places outside of the church, to feel like you don't make a difference because you're not the boss or you're not the star player. In life, we take people for granted all of the time. But there are people we don't even know who can make a difference in our lives. At home, when you get up to shower in the morning, you don't think about that Hamilton County worker who makes sure that there's water at the faucet when you turn it on, do you? You don't even think about it. But he or she may actually be one of the most important people in your life on a daily basis. You don't even think about him, do you? Unless one morning you turn the faucet on and there's no water, then all of a sudden they're important. The same thing applies to us when it comes to God. There is no such thing as a big role or a little role in God's eyes. We all have a purpose in God's eyes. We are all loved by God, no matter the role that he has called us to do. Perhaps you did something small, something as mundane as donating a can to the food pantry, handing a homeless person a bottle of water, maybe just making a card or a phone call to a sick person. Do you believe or think that God thinks this is insignificant or mundane? On the contrary, in the scriptures, Jesus says, "When you do it for the least of these people, you're really doing it for me." And it is often the quiet people in the background that support the work of the church, the same way an extra on the set brings a story to life. It is easy to give God the glory for a beautiful solo heard on a Sunday morning. But we often fail to recognize that quiet person who just showed up and faithfully put their offering in the plate. Or that person who simply helped with some supplies of toothpaste or shaving cream for the needy? Or how about the one who just simply donated cookies or provided snacks for a funeral? Or the wonderful people who mow the grass, tend the flowers, or vacuum the floor? As you go through Advent this season, consider Joseph. Consider he was given a great task, and really Joseph has been given little attention. And you know, Joseph wasn't there for Jesus' first miracles. He was not at the foot of the cross. He was not there for the resurrection, and he wasn't there for the day of Pentecost. But Joseph had an important role and bringing Jesus to the world. So as we go in to this holiday season, ask yourself, will you dominate this holiday season? Will you be the center of everything? Or will you let Jesus be the center of everything? Will you allow him to be the starring role? Our job as supporting characters is to make the life of Jesus real for this world. They need to see that his love, his actions, and his sacrifice have meaning in our lives. And when they see that the gospel story is lived out through our lives, then the gospel story of Jesus becomes more believable to them. So as we journey through Advent, will you allow Jesus to have the starring role in your life? Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we remember the life of Joseph, he's only mentioned in a few chapters of the gospel. And later in the gospels, he's not even mentioned by name. Jesus is just referred to as the carpenter's son. Not even a mention of Joseph's name. But Lord, he played an important role. And Lord, he took on a humble role. He took on a difficult task so that the world would see and know Jesus Christ. Lord, you've asked each of us to take on a role in your will. And Lord, every role is important. And how we live out our role will tell people what Jesus really means to us. Lord, I ask during this Advent season that all of our actions support who Jesus is. That we bring Jesus to life for people who don't know Jesus. That this season of Advent will truly be the time that they see who Jesus Christ is and what his birth meant for them. Lord, let us remember that without Jesus Christ, we have no salvation. And this world needs your salvation. It needs your grace, your mercy, your love, and your light. Allow us to be a part of that supporting cast that shares the gospel with the entire world so that they know your Son, Jesus Christ, is alive and he lives within us. All of this we ask and pray through your Son's holy name. Amen. Go now and be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Allow him to be the center of your life this Advent season. Go and be a supporting cast member, showing people the love of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.